All right. Let's get started if we could. Thanks everyone for being here. Welcome to the February 2010 ECAC meeting. I'm Mark Turner, the CAC chair. We also have Alan Alston, the vice chair, sitting behind us here, and Sue Sturgis, right here, our secretary. So thank you both for the efforts that you put in every month for the CAC. We've got a pretty fun presentation here tonight. We're going to do our normal police report. We've got Captain Stacy Deans we're going to introduce you to, who just took over for the Southeast. We're glad to have him here. Mr. Ballin is also here, too, from the police department. We've got some folks over here from the North Carolina Solar Center who's going to talk about energy incentives, alternative energy plans, tax incentives that can help you make those types of projects affordable, and maybe a little bit more about some of the stuff they do over there. So thank you for being here as well. And to start off with, I think we have on the agenda our meeting minutes from January. And as I mentioned in an email, I don't know if everybody saw this, but we're going to provide summaries in the newsletter from now on of our minutes rather than go on and on. Sue takes such wonderfully thorough minutes that they were killing a lot of trees. So we decided that if you want the full scoop on everything that happens, go to the CAC website, which is www.eastraleigh.org, and look for the links there. We've got a category for minutes, and you can read the full scoop there. Also, we're going to try something new this month around. I've got a digital recorder here to record the meeting, and I'll post this audio on the website afterwards. So if you know people that would have liked to have come to the meeting but had conflicts or something, you can send them there. They can listen to the MP3 file or whatever and pay closer attention to things. So we'll just record that just so everybody knows what's going on there. Let's see. Do we have a move for approving the January minutes? Do we have a motion? Okay. Sue.
First
yes.
Point is there's something that needs to be corrected on the version of the minutes that went around in the mail about the Salvation Army. I think it was misstated that they were going to be selling their building on Wake Forest Road across the Mortgage, but that's not true. Actually, they're selling them in the downtown.
That's right.
That's been corrected in the full minutes on the website, but just in case you just read the summary.
Okay. So, a motion to approve? Okay, there's a motion. Do I have a second? Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye. All opposed? Okay. Good. took care of that. That reminded me what Sue mentions, and it's slipped my mind now, actually. So we'll come back to whatever that was as soon as it pops back into my head. You know how that goes. Okay. So, I wanted to see a show of hands. Who here is attending your first ECAC meeting? Raise your hand, please. Excellent. Okay, great. Did you find signs? How did you find out about it? It's just somebody.
Ms. Ford.
Okay, yeah. Well, Ms. Ford, sure. And how about you?
My wife told me that.
Okay. Are you on the mailing list?
Yeah, I'm on the mailing list.
Okay, good. Yeah, mailing list is helpful. And I know that we've got folks here that I invited, so obviously I know how you got here. We have a number of things here. If you didn't, please sign in if you didn't get a chance to do this already. We need to make sure that we've got your name on the list. If you've been here before, just put your name or phone number down here so we can keep track of it. You don't have to fill out your address and everything if you've already done that. We also have some other handouts, leisure leisures and stuff like that, and I'll let Christy and Jason talk a little bit about that. Do we have any success reports we want to discuss before we move into the main part of the meeting? I know we had some scooters that were taken and they were brought back, but that wasn't actually ECAC. That was more Oakwood. Charlene, did you have something? Charlene Willer, too, from the city. Thank you for all the stuff you do, too.
Well, I'm proud to present this certificate to our newly registered Lions Park South Community Watch group. And this is the area I've brought in here. Of course, Mark happens to live in this section here in Bennett Woods. But there's the Lions Way, Heritage Heights, it's called Breezy Heights. Doesn't cover a lot of them in this little area here. But basically, they organized into a community watch area. And I think one of my big goals, if you all should choose to pursue it, would be to have this whole area covered with community watch areas, community watch neighborhoods. And we help you organize, and you too can have a nice place like this.
And also be eligible for city grants, right?
Right.
For helping strengthen your community watch.
Right, and I think we've already got some interest here and applying for one of those. That we are working to make the process easier to get the grants, to apply for them, and to help interdepartmentally after we give you the grant, make it possible to navigate some
channels. Cut through the red tape, right?
Yeah.
Some city departments don't talk to other city departments. You
know, right, so we're working to make that process even better. And also, I'll tell you later on, after I get a chance to talk with Mark a little bit more, there's a website out called Pepsi Refresh, and that has grants available from $5,000 to $250,000. And it's available to groups, nonprofits, neighborhood groups, for-profit. It's just a wide swath of available grants that it can be geared to neighborhoods, neighborhood improvement, the environment, health. I think there's about six or seven categories. And I'm going to give Mark the information to access on that on the web. You could even, if you wanted to apply for one of those, do it in tandem with applying for a neighborhood improvement grant.
I know they expressed a little bit of loser. They're like, you know, people that won the lottery but never actually won any of them. We have dream jobs. Let's tell you a little bit about the North Carolina Solar Center. It is housed at North Carolina State University. We are a nonprofit entity that is partly funded by the state of North Carolina and partly funded by grants. And our scope is anything having to do with energy sustainability and more or less the whole really popular green scene. Because, of course, we all know now that green is the new red, white, and blue. So, great to be here this evening. Brian Lutz is an expert on a project of national scope that we have at the Solar Center, and that is a website that compiles all the incentive information for each of the states. So you have accessibility to that, and he'll be taking you through a little presentation of that. My particular area of expertise is alternative fuels and advanced vehicle technology. I know that's not what we're addressing this evening, but if any of you have a question involving alternative fuels, please feel free to ask me. And I'm going to get out of the way here and let my partner get on with it.
Joe told me today he's the one that started all the nasty rumors about Toyota. Just so he could get his boss off his back for a little bit, but it got out of control. So I work on a project that's funded by the U.S. Department of Energy called DESIRE. That's spelled D-S-I-R-E. It's not like passion. And our website is DSIREUSA.org. I'm not sure what DESIREUSA.org might be, but I don't want to check it at work. But on the front page of our website, you'll be confronted with a map of the U.S. and you click on your respective state, in this case North Carolina, and you'll come up with a page like this where you can see all the different policies and incentives out there for energy efficiency and renewable energy. And I'm happy to report that in terms of the southeastern states, North Carolina has a lot more to offer than any other state in this area. So we've kind of taken a leadership role and decided to make an investment in this and really going for it. So I thought I'd just kind of show you how to use DESIRE instead of trying to explain every last incentive there is. So I guess I'll try to come back to that.
So anyway,
this laptop is this.
So you can see here's the whole list of incentives, and they're categorized. We have a corporate tax credit.
Get you online here, though.
Here's our homepage, so if you have relatives or friends in Maryland, you can tell them to check out this website and click on their state. And if let's say you have a refrigerator that is on the fridge or something, you want to have that replaced, and you want to see what is out there for you for just refrigerators, you can use this search tool here on the left side of the screen. And if you want it for your house, you can select residential, state and territory, maybe North Carolina. So that's a technology. Let's do insulation. Click here to search. And here's all the stuff that's out there for you. Of course, to get these utility programs, you're gonna have to be a customer of the utility. So here's a program that Progress Energy offers. You can see Progress Energy also has a rebate program for insulation. And the federal government also has a tax credit for insulation. You can do this with any technology in any state. So that's one easy way to find all this stuff. And to look more specifically at a couple key incentives in North Carolina, we have one of the most generous tax credits in the country for renewable energy systems. So if you wanted to put solar on your roof, we have a 35% tax credit for that.
How does that work, right? How does that work, the tax credit?
So it's a tax credit instead of a deduction, and that comes right off the bottom line of your taxes. This is similar to the federal tax credit for insulation that we saw. So if you buy any one of these eligible technologies here, when you're filing your taxes in April, you'd have to fill out a couple tax forms, and the state would give you back 35% of the cost that you have spent on that item. And there are various caps depending on the technology, but again, it's an investment that the state has decided to make in this technology. And this tax credit actually goes back all the way to the time of Jimmy Carter. So back when Carter was president, the state decided to go in there with him. And we haven't really let up since. And a couple of things to keep your eyes out for. First, we have this sales tax holiday for energy efficient appliances, similar to the going back to school sales tax holiday for school equipment. If you want to buy a new refrigerator or something, there's a week, I think.
Is that obvious?
We'll say in here, let's see. On the first Friday of November,
that weekend,
and another thing to keep your eyes out for, the state energy office is actually going to be having a rebate program for certain energy efficient appliances starting in April around Earth Day. I think it might just be around for a week, so you'll want to get on that. if you're in the market for a new appliance or something. All that money is coming from the federal government from the stimulus bill. So all this $800 billion you've heard about, you can take your little 50 or 100 bucks out of it. And we don't have any information on that on Desire right now because we don't post incentives until they're actually available. We don't want to confuse anyone. But check back here or certainly contact the state energy office if you want to know more. And so I would invite you, if you're in the market for something, just cruise around our website and see all the great stuff our state has to offer.
Mark, will you be putting up this, the links to this?
Sure, yeah, I can send this out.
Fantastic. Do you guys have any questions?
You said something about green jobs.
What are the green jobs? Joe?
Yeah, I can kind of explain the way to go about getting a green job is, of course, if you're a guy like Brian who's young, technically savvy, high-energy multitasker with lots of education and good background, you can go get a green job because you're well qualified. And in the case of myself, it's because they had some kind of quota to hire old people. I mean, truthfully, there are 65 jobs at the North Carolina Solar Center. Every one of them is required some kind of technical savvy. And it's not necessarily as clear as going to school and learning a particular thing. It might be that some people might have an engineering background. Some people might not. And a lot of times it does have to do with the peculiar life circumstances that have just resulted in knowing about a number of things that are now quite on everybody's consciousness about energy. Of course, anything having to do with energy is kind of the hub of the universe at the moment. So I don't mean to be smart about it, but indeed the green jobs will be created. There'll be a number of jobs, not only for people like us, that basically we are working for clearinghouse of information. We're sorting out the good information from the bad, but there will be jobs involving real hands-on stuff. You know, people that install solar equipment, people that know how to properly put weatherization packages together, people that know how to insulate your home, people that... So there will be a number of green jobs at the low level and high level.
I'd like to add, I work for Southern Energy Management, and we have fixed job postings right now. So those are fixed green jobs that are available. Everything from estimators, so and plumbing, people who know electricity. We're also hiring writers, too, so there's green jobs everywhere, technical level as well as other skills and stuff, too.
Mark?
Can you tell us much about the law that's passed that it requires our state utilities to buy a certain amount of green energy? Can you explain
sure.
a bit about that?
That law was passed in 2007. It's a policy that I think maybe 30 states now, including us, have on the books that requires our utilities to have a certain percentage of their electricity come from renewable energy by a certain date. In the case of North Carolina, Duke and Progress and Dominion have to have 12.5% of their electricity come from renewable energy by 2021. And a subset of that, I think it's 0.2% of their total energy has to come specifically from solar. And so that's why it's kind of drawing a lot of attention within the state. And that's why Duke and Progress are starting to roll up these incentive programs to because they need this energy, and they want you to produce it, and they want to buy it from you so they can comply with this law.
I see a lot of this metal roofing advertisement going on, and, you know, they've been killing my phone. Is that considered green?
If it has bright reflective coatings. You know, to be honest, I'm not totally a technical specialist. My focus is more policy. So my friends from Southern Energy Management have told me. I address that more specifically than I.
I guess generally, if you get a metal roof that doesn't have any, if it's not painted, you know, if it's not painted black, and it has a certain reflective property to it, then like you said, I mean, it'll be a good roof, and it'll keep your attic a lot cooler, and it'll last a lot longer than a asphalt roof, and Yeah,
the point is, you know, if you go out in the summer with a black T-shirt on, you're going to get hot.
Yeah, I know dark colors.
I'd like to make a comment about the metal roof issue. And one reason people might want to think about that, one thing that does make it kind of sustainable, is I have a lot of friends who do really serious gardening. And if you're actually collecting rainwater off your roof, what you're going to collect from a metal roof is better to use on the garden than something you're collecting off of a regular shingle roof, because they put anti-mildew stuff in the shingles, and sometimes that can damage a garden. So I know people who go to metal because of the gardening.
That's right. There are people who collect rainwater from their metal roofs and filter it and drink it as potable water. So you can't really do that with asphalt shingles because it's a petroleum product and it's got all kinds of chemicals in it. So you wouldn't want to.
And they use coal ash also.
You don't want to drink coal ash.
Thank you.
So they've got a recent buy this energy, and they're rolling out incentives that you mentioned. Can you talk a little bit about what Progress Energy is pursuing right now as far as residential projects?
Sure. Well, they have what they call SunSense solar water heating program. So if you want to put a solar water heater on your roof, I think it says $1,500 maybe.
$1,000. Good. So I'll have those little water heating systems if anyone wants to come look.
And of course, you can combine that with the 35% state tax credit and the 30% federal tax credit. So if you combine all three of those, that's a substantial chunk of the cost right there. You know, a lot of this technology is more expensive than your traditional stuff. But you buy a cheap, crappy water heater, electric water heater, and throw it in your basement, you know, you're paying a little bit today, that you're paying for next month and next month after that, and for the next 30 years or whatever you have this thing. Whereas solar, you put it on, put the investment up now, and then essentially have that free energy from the sun in your water.
And the payback time for solar water heaters is really short compared to most things. So especially with the incentives, you can make your money back within less than 10 years. So if you have less than 5, you can make incentives.
Just out of curiosity, what are the longevity of the, you know, I guess whatever they are, photovoltaic cells that you put on your roof, has there been any studies to how long they last?
Yeah.
Everybody talks about they pay themselves off over all the years, but you know, I know the crappy water heater you buy only lasts 10 years. What is the stuff on the roof like?
Most PV panels these days come with a 20-year warranty from the manufacturer, so that's a warranty that's guaranteed to last 20 years. But in reality, it'll probably last up to 30 before they really start not really producing electricity. So you're essentially paying for, say, 20 years of electricity all up front, which is kind of daunting if I did that with my cell phone bill. If I want to pay whatever it is, $12,000 today to have a free cell phone for the next 20 years, I'd rather pay a little bit every month. That's what I have the tax credits.
Well, what about repair costs?
Well, if it has a warranty and the manufacturer gives it a warranty, then can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, if it's something that's not covered by the warranty, just like any other product, so SEM, the company I work for, we offer labor matching warranty with all our systems. So, you know, most of the solar water heating systems come with a 10-year warranty. The photovoltaic, the electricity come with 25-year warranty. If you do, we're just like a regular plumber or electrician, though, if there's something extra, you know, we just charge by the hour, just like a regular plumber or an electrician would.
You know, if Progress Energy plans to roll out the SunSense program for solar cells, is that something that they're looking at? Or?
You know, last summer they did mention that by the end of the summer they'd have a incentive program for residential solar electric, and then they kind of backpedaled on that. I haven't heard anything about that in a while. They have a commercial program for commercial photovoltaics. Conversely, Duke, kind of lied a little bit, Duke hasn't really done anything on their end, except try to buy a bunch of systems and install them themselves. They kind of want to, seems like they want to keep their monopoly on electricity.
the only ones that are supplying the electricity and make it very difficult for their customers to own their own electricity.
And Progress Energy also has a lot of good rebates for energy efficiency, too. They have up to a $375 rebate for insulating your attic, so it's really good. And also rebates on duct sealing, HVAC maintenance, and tune-ups, so a lot of good rebates. And they pay out pretty quick, too, within 4 to 6 weeks. So.
Well, and that state law that requires them to get some of their electricity from renewable energy, energy efficiency can qualify for a portion of that, too. So that kind of spurred this energy efficiency protocol there as well.
I have a question, and I don't know, maybe this is something for Southern Energy Management. It's kind of a geeky question, but I'm a relatively poor person, and I don't have the money to buy solar photovoltaic, but that's pretty expensive. And so I have a brother-in-law who actually does installations, and he keeps telling me, just wait, because the thin film solar is coming soon. And I'm wondering if you all have seen that. Is that available at all in North Carolina? And do you think that within a few years we're going to be seeing more of the thin film solar rather than the big fat PV style solar?
I can take this one if you'd like. I'm starting to feel a little dumb up here because of one of the car questions. But I can tell you that basically that trade-off when you're talking about solar panels is a question of efficiency versus cost. And when we talk about the thinner and thinner films, generally it's a question of they're not as efficient, and yet they're far cheaper to produce. So you get to a point where right now in the laboratory they actually have paint that can be connected as a photovoltaic array. So you get to a point where, you know, if it becomes inexpensive enough, you can just kind of slather the panels all over everything, and you might not get a whole lot of power out of it, but it didn't cost very much either. So you get down to that question of, okay, what am I really trying to accomplish with the solar panel, and how much am I willing to invest in it? And if I don't have a whole lot of money, well, maybe I can invest in one that's not going to do the entire job that I might have had in mind, but it's going to do something. And one of the programs that we're involved in every year has been at the state fairgrounds, the Green and Sea display down at the state fairgrounds. So a very common question that people would come up to me and say, well, if I put a solar panel up on my roof, how long is it going to take me to pay for it? Kind of look at it, I see, you know, that's really not the point. The point is, if you're willing to do it, and you're willing to do it, and your neighbor a mile down the road is willing to do it, and a few other people are willing to do it, it's not so much that you're going to save a lot of money, it's that collectively you're going to keep Progress Energy from needing to build another power plant. And that might be the whole real point, that if there are enough of them out there and they're capturing a little bit of the electric load and they're just taking a little bit of the demand off the grid, that maybe it'll make the difference between needing to build a power plant to take care of whatever new homes get built, whatever new wonderful appliances we all want, and not needing to build. I hope that's what we're after.
In other words, it would keep Progress Energy from going up on our bills. Because I know we're going to have to pay for something that they've done this year since we've had this. Because I just got a bill for $449 from Progress Energy. And this young man was talking about this incentive that you got to give me some information. Last year, I had my attic done. I had my floor up under my in the crawl space, the floor up under my house. I had my around my the ducts, and you know my you know thing. Come on, y'all, help me out.
Water heater.
The heat comes up.
The register.
The vents. Thank you. The vent. And I had my around my doors, and there, I got new doors. Got those in 03. And I was not even at home for about a month. And no power was being used. I got these little bitty lights, little night lights I keep on, just two of those, you know. And I'm just not understanding how I keep getting bills like this, you know. So I must be paying somebody else's bills. Because now they claim they got that scanner gun. And I said, well, somebody's coming out here redirecting that thing somewhere, you know, up here or something, you know. So.
What's funny you should say that. There's a program through the Cooperative Extension Department where you can get a home energy audit done at your house, which normally would cost $500 if you were going to a professional home energy auditor. But you attend a class for free, basically, and I think you can get those energy audits done on your home for $100 rather than $500. And it's pretty much guaranteed to save you money. I mean, they'll find leaks in your house and places you need to add insulation. They'll come out and inspect your house, and they'll actually do some of these small repairs for you. It's a great program. You have something to add?
Yes, and see also does that for $25, and I had it done in December, and the guy came out and did a blowblower test. It was amazing. I actually could feel where all the air was coming in. It amounted to about a square foot hole in my house.
And that's huge.
My January bill was $30 less than last year's
January. Well, so in 1 month it paid for itself.
Yeah, and that's something with the January we had.
Yeah, and all I did really was use his suggestions and go around my house on Saturday with a can of spray foam and just like seal up some registers and stuff. So if you have gas,
Progress, Resources for Seniors came out and did this. They're the ones that did all this work. They did that test.
Okay.
You know, they did that test. It didn't cost me anything, thank God. Because I'm a little bit like this lady. I'm on a very set income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm pretty much under the poverty level, for real. But that's all right. God takes care of me anyway. But Resources for Seniors will do it for people with disabilities and for people 65 and older.
I've got information about the Resources for Seniors program up here too. It's eligible for people in the area. They're looking for low-income people or elderly who might have some issues paying for their bills. But they'll come out and as Debbie said, they'll do an audit on your house and fix some things, minor things for you. But I think the let's see. You have to be eligible, I guess, for the program. Qualify as low income.
But I was going to say it's not that low income. Like it's 200% of poverty level.
Yes.
So for a family of four, that's like $40,000 a year. So a lot more people might qualify.
And I sent an email out to the list this afternoon with some details about that. But I've got some applications here. If anybody wants to take one, or you have neighbors that you think might benefit from this, because that's certainly a great way to save money too.
And it's renters are eligible. Your landlord's
right.
Willing to get involved, so it's not only for homeowners. So
it's a couple of good programs to help you save money just by not using so much energy, which is a very good plan too.
I'm just a real simple man. I've been hearing a lot about cost and price and what you can pay for, but on a basic package, how much are we talking? Because I have no idea.
Use the electric water heater. I mean the solar water heater, for example. What would something like that cost?
Somewhere between $5,000 and $8,000.
Right. Most of our systems are 7,000 fully installed. It's tax, labor, permitting, all the bells and whistles, the warranties. And then
That's before the incentives.
And so after the incentives, with the progress incentive too, it's about $3,000 after tax credits and all the other stuff like that. So they actually usually pay for themselves by 5 years. You save quite a bit a month. 75% of what you would spend on heating your hot water, you save by using solar. So.
Now, Judy, they don't actually take the pipes down from those panels and hook them to your bathtub, right? I mean, it's a little bit more complicated than that.
No,
tell people what actually happens.
Yeah, so there'll be two panels up on your roof, It's called propylene glycol. It's in ice cream. It's a food grade, you know, antifreeze, so that it's not frozen up on your roof. Propylene glycol runs through the panels and down to a heat exchanger, which is either inside the tank or next to the tank, and then the water's heated that way. So you get, you know, free hot water. There's just a little pump station next to it and a little tank, or internally to your tank. We do put in pretty large tanks because solar is all about storage. You do want to collect as much hot water as you possibly can, so that at night when the sun's not up, you can still have hot water. And then for days when it's cloudy, there's always a backup source of heat. So there'll always be an electric element or a second tank or tankless unit, something like that. Lots of combinations you see. Yeah?
Does the roof have to be a certain way?
South facing is the best. 35 degrees off the south, you lose.
If it's not, then what do you do?
So if it's 35 degrees off the south, you lose very little production. You're just suffering your production. So if you do have an east or west facing roof, there are things that not like, there's things like flat plate collectors, which are traditionally thought of, but we can also do evacuated tubes, which are a little more efficient. They get up to the high temperatures quicker. So we can take advantage of the little sun hours that you do have, like if you do have an east or west facing roof, or you do have shade, or something that would prohibit you collecting all that energy. So south is good, off of south is okay, and you're just losing production, and you won't see a payback as fast. And no big tree.
Oh. Tree.
Pretty much basic. And then the electricity system is pretty simple as well. It'll be electrical panels, an inverter, down to, you know, wires and balance of the system, meters for the utility puts in a separate meter.
So you can, do you all take installment payments?
We don't. We do work with some vendors who do have financing available. SunPower is a huge company, and they have financing available. So it's not very good terms. It's a 1 year thing with cash. So,
should also mention on that side of things, you know, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of freedom the cities can have in terms of how they administer government, but they're also restricted and bound by state law in many cases. There's some cases where if a city wants to do something or a county wants to do something, offer some kind of special financing deal, they would need to get legislative authority from the state. So last legislative session, the state passed two bills to give all of our cities and counties the ability to, one, offer direct loans to homeowners, low-interest loans to help pay for these systems, or energy efficiency measures if you don't have that upfront cost or upfront cash. And then this other unique kind of new program that's caught on in California but not really many other places yet that allows you to finance this kind of equipment through your property tax bill. So, you know, that you get a special line item on your property tax bill every year that would be a payment towards this loan that you got. And in theory, that increase in your property tax bill should be less than the amount of electricity you save from these measures.
So theoretically, you could get the $8,000 system installed, get $5,000 worth of rebates, hopefully finance the other $3,000, and it would still be less than you were paying for the electricity to begin with.
Yeah, you probably want to consult an accountant at that point. Because when you start combining all the incentives, it can get quickly a little daunting and confusing, and you don't want to break the law, but in theory, yes.
So Brian, are you saying that Raleigh has been given the authority?
Raleigh has been given the authority to offer these two programs.
Okay, interesting.
So if you guys, if this was something you wanted to explore, you could talk to your city council members.
Well, you know, what I'm hearing is eventually this is going to be required, just like they did that converter box. That's what I'm hearing.
California is starting to take that route. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're getting a bit, etching up their building code more and more. Hawaii actually has a requirement that all new houses have to have solar water heaters. You can't have electric water heaters anymore.
So you're giving us an early choice now.
Yeah.
So we're one of the first people to jump on this thing.
But now the name of the game at this
also is, if you think back to when DVDs first came out, or CD players or VCRs, you had the early adopters who paid, I don't know, maybe $1,000 for a VCR back in 1980 or something.
No, it wasn't
which is
much.
Crazy. You can get one at a thrift store now for $20. But who wants it? You know? But as more people, as more manufacturers get involved and start making the products and start trying to outdo each other, eventually, in theory, we'll hit these economies of scale where the prices continue to drop as quality increases. But right now, the price has been historically so high that there haven't been enough people kind of driving the market to make that, you know, supply catch up with some imaginary demand. That's why the incentives are here for now. A lot of states have even more generous direct cash incentive programs, California, for example. Mm-hmm. But their incentive program is set up to decline every so often. There's 12 steps at which their incentives will decline until it's pretty much non-existent anymore. Theory being, as more Californians start installing it, the price should decrease for each new one. That's the theory of that.
We actually have an ECAC member who has solar panels on his house. If you've driven by Glasscock near Brookside, you might have seen him. Sean Fitzpatrick owns that house. Asked him if he could show up here tonight, talk a little bit about his system, but he had a prior engagement. But he, as I understand it, he put those panels on himself because he's a mechanical engineer and happened to be with the solar center, I think, for a while there. So maybe we can get him to come in later on, or I can hook you up with him to talk with him about the things he does. He has both the PV panels and also a solar water heater, so he's familiar with both technologies. Julie, do you know of anybody else in the neighborhood or the area that have setups or anything?
That's me.
Oh, you're going to do it?
So then Van Buren has a solar hot water heater set up. You can see it.
Van Buren. Okay. 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 That's good to know. And Julie lives in the ECAC now too. So I mean, she'll be
keeping
up on that. So welcome her to the neighborhood. Yeah. She's
the
neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He works
a Southern Energy, and he's right down the road from
me. Had a question in the back?
Yeah.
I
had a question. Do you guys have complaints? What kind of complaints do you get when you're doing discussions?
Complaint?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, let's see, okay, for solar water heating systems, a lot of people are always fearful of leaks and, you know, the roof not being flashed properly, so you do have to make sure you do get a quality installer who's going to be flashing the roof properly. You know, a lot of the stigmas from the 80s were that solar water heating leaks, don't get one, they'll make a big hole in your roof. So you do need to make sure that you do get a licensed plumber or a licensed electrician who's going to be doing your installation work. So roof leaks are always a concern. Things like, you know, electric elements tripping, that's one of the things that we get called about a lot, but, you know, that happens with regular electric water heaters with your breaker tripping. With solar electric systems, they're pretty much hands-off. There's no moving parts, you know, so there's really very little maintenance that you have to do. Some people like to spray their panels with water, you know, when it gets kind of polleny and dusty out, but that's really all the maintenance that you really need to do.
Have any problems with lightning strikes? Any of your customers?
All of our systems are grounded, so again, make sure you get a licensed electrician.
Okay.
those are pretty much it.
Okay.
Regular water heater problems.
What commercial installations do we have around the area? I know that I guess at Raleigh's the waste treatment plants, they've got a set of panels that have just been put up. What else do we have around?
We're doing Brentwood, Parks and Rec building at Brentwood. We're doing that in 2 months.
Cool.
So that's very near.
If you guys ever find yourselves by the McKimmon Center, you can come check out the solar house. The solar center actually grew out of the solar house. It was constructed back in the 80s to be kind of a demonstration home and said, look, this is how you can set up your house. And Steve likes to quote what our annual heating bill is there, something like $30 a year, maybe.
What are the hours for those?
I think it's pretty regular 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, and I think on Sundays as well.
But if you go to the NC Solar Center's website, which is ncsc.ncsu.edu.
You get all that?
You got all that? NC Solar Center, NC State University, education.
I could send you links and stuff, you know, all the stuff we talked about.
But that has the hours of the solar
house. I have a question. The person talking about the company that did the energy audit for $100.
I went with the gas company.
Yeah, so if you're a gas company, you can do it for $25, it's the cooperative extension. And that program is for homes that are 5 years old or older and 2,000 square feet and only one HVAC unit. And I think, you know, if you fall within those terms, you're good. But there are other ones, too. I think, you know, maybe the gas company doesn't really care how big your house is or other limitations. I don't know. I'll get you the information and send it out to the mailing list as follow-up, so you'll have the links and contact stuff.
Southern Energy Management also does energy service, too. They're $295.
So you know what a bargain 25 is. Okay, any other questions from anybody about the incentives and things? All right.
A big thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thanks,
Joe. All right. Anybody have any other announcements or anything before we close up shop? Jason, you have something you want to talk
about? Oh yeah, we are starting renovations tomorrow morning, so I have some little favor of you guys. I'm going to grab at least one chair.
Is in this other room.
Okay, but before you do that, next month we're going to be talking about the gateway projects with New Bern Avenue and Capitol Boulevard. We were hoping to have the planning department here at this meeting. There was a scheduling conflict where Mitchell wasn't able to make it, but he'll be here next month to talk about it. These are very important projects where they're going to be basically redesigning New Bern Avenue and Capitol Boulevard. So we're not going to have used car lots and empty shopping centers once this plan gets put into place. So you want to be here and asking questions. They'll be there gathering feedback to find out what we're looking to do. So bring your ideas with you, and we'll have a good meeting in March. So with that, thank you everyone for being here. We'll see you in a couple. Yes, take your chairs.
Resources for
students. Okay, I think that'd be helpful. Yeah, we've got a lot of people in the neighborhood, I think, who are these older houses. Big one?
So, one form that you were holding up there, that one.
Oh, for the, yeah, that's the new one.
So you pick up that whole website and you
he's got my contact information.
Have you heard about the new incentives from Saturday?
Well, my